Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 30th chapter, verses 24 to 43. Verse 24.
Shishigovacha, Nitisan Chintayan Krishna, Shafakatanayotani, Patina Gokuram Kakta, Shayas Chastakirin Nipan.
Translation. Shikri Goswami continued, "My dear King, while the son of Shafalka, traveling on the road, thus meditated deeply on Shri Krishna, he reached Gokula as the sun was beginning to set.
Mukamma karati vachala gandulam vaitirini yakitantamam vande sivarunatana amagyana timirandasya gyanantara sharakaya chakshyamunitam yena tasamay
So what do you remember from this morning's class? Adiprush.
Gaurav was wondering about his amazing good fortune.
Mm-hmm.
Then he was meditating how he would see the lotus feet of the Lord.
Right.
His lotus face, get his glance, touched by the hand and
be embraced
and then talked to.
Okay. So he was first wondering, Aguro was wondering about his great good fortune, and then he was meditating on how he would meet Lord Krishna, Krishna's lotus feet, and then his hand, his face, his glance, and his embrace. So different ways of meeting Krishna. He was anticipating in his meditation, on his way from Mathura to Vrindavan. Anything else? Yes. Words describing Lord Krishna's activities can animate, beautify, and purify the world and the universe. Okay, anything else? Yes.
Guru was Kamsa's messenger. And he thought he might be considered as enemy, but Krishna didn't consider him an enemy.
He was anticipating that Krishna would not see him as an enemy, even though he was the messenger of Krishna. He would understand his heart. That externally he was with the enemy, but internally he was with Krishna. Yes, Krishna's hand became fragrant by touching the faces of the gopis during Rasa Lila. Yes. Yes, he's going now to see that sweet form of Krishna and Vrindavan.
And it was a result of many
sleepless nights. Result of sleepless nights. Yes, he had this long cherished desire to see the Supreme Lord. Yes, we can become recognized by Krishna by service and by devotion. So that is the purpose of our life, especially as devotees, to become recognized by Krishna. And this was the desire of Akura, to become recognized by Krishna. Yes?
Akura was real anxious to meet with Krishna, and he considered it to be great fortune, but at the same time he was grateful to Kamsa gave this opportunity.
Yes, Kura was grateful to Kamsa for giving him the blessing, the mercy of being able to meet Lord Krishna. Okay. So read the purport of this verse. Shishida Swami comments that although Akura did not even notice the road, being deeply absorbed in meditation on Lord Krishna, he still reached Gokula on his chariot. So I tend to wonder, does this mean that Akura was actually driving the chariot, or did he have a charioteer? Or like,
he was charioteer himself, he was alone with his own
chariot. I mean, later on we'll see that there was a charioteer, like tomorrow in some of the descriptions there is another charioteer, but this point would seem to indicate that he was driving, but he didn't notice the road. And so somehow he arrived. Although he was just thinking of Krishna, He wasn't thinking of what he was doing with the chariot. He wasn't like thinking of how he was driving. But he was just, I mean, this is what this comment means to me. Somehow or other he reached, although he wasn't aware of driving the chariot. One devotee was telling me that he used to drive a truck to make money in America, when my godbrother, and he would the whole time he was driving, he would just chant japa, or he would hear some classes of Prabhupada, and it would be like 8 hours, 9 hours of driving in a day, and he wouldn't even notice it. He said he would just, because he'd be chanting the whole time, and then I've arrived. So that's another example of not noticing what you're doing and being so absorbed in Krishna. It's the same idea. Same idea. Verse 25. In the cowherd pasture, Akura saw the footprints of those feet whose pure dust the rulers of all the planets in the universe hold on their crowns. Those footprints of the Lord, distinguished by such marks as lotus, barley corn, and elephant goad, made the ground wonderfully beautiful. So here we have the barley corn, the chakra, umbrella, the line, the flag, lotus, all the marks, the half-strung, unstrung bow, triangle, fish, moon. There you can see what Akura saw when he came to Vrindavan. 26. Increasingly agitated by ecstasy at seeing the Lord's footprints, his bodily hair standing on end because of his pure love, and his eyes filled with tears, Akura jumped down from his chariot and began rolling about among those footprints, exclaiming, "Ah, this is the dust from my master's feet." So in the third canto, first chapter, Vidura asks Uddhava about Akura, and he describes this particular pastime, this particular event in Akura's life. "Please tell me whether Akura, son of Shafaka," this is 3.1.32, "is doing well. He is a faultless soul surrendered unto the personality of Godhead. He once lost his mental equilibrium due to his ecstasy of transcendental love and fell down on the dust of a road which was marked with the footprints of Lord Krishna." Purport. When Akura came to Vrindavan in search of Krishna, he saw the footprints of the Lord on the dust of Nandagram and at once fell on them in ecstasy of transcendental love. This ecstasy is possible for a devotee who is fully absorbed in incessant thoughts of Krishna. So if you want to have this ecstasy of Akura, of falling down in Krishna's footprints, then you have to always think of Krishna. Manmana bhavamad bhaktum. Such a pure devotee of the Lord is naturally faultless because he's always associated with the supremely pure personality of Godhead. Constant thought of the Lord is the antiseptic method for keeping oneself free from the infectious contamination of the material qualities. So if you want to be free from an infection of contamination, always think of Krishna. Purity of devotee of the Lord is always in company with the Lord by thinking of him. Yet, in the particular context of time and place, the transcendental emotions take a different turn, and this breaks the mental equilibrium of the devotee. Lord Chaitanya displayed the typical example of transcendental ecstasy, as we can understand from the life of this incarnation of God. So Akura lost his mental balance for a few minutes, perhaps. But Lord Chaitanya lost it for so many years. He was like that for, 18 or 12 years? I can't remember. He took sannyas when he was 24, and then there were 24 years left, and 6 years he traveled. So it seems to me it was 18 years that he was mad. He was in madness in Jagannath Puri. So what Akura, or what the gopis were experiencing in a short time, Lord Chaitanya was experiencing. Of course, the gopis will experience it when Akura takes Krishna away. That's for 100 years. But Akura, only for a few minutes, but Lord Chaitanya for 18 years. He was experiencing losing his mental equilibrium. 27. The very goal of life for all embodied beings is this ecstasy, which Akura experienced when, upon receiving Kamsa's order, he put aside all pride, fear, and lamentation and absorbed himself in seeing, hearing, and describing the things that reminded him of Lord Krishna. So this is the goal of life, to become mad in ecstasy for Krishna. And of course, there's three words in this verse which are going to be discussed by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur especially. And yes. So those three words are what Akura gave up: pride, fear, and lamentation. So these are obstacles which prevent us from surrendering fully to Krishna. Some of us are too proud to surrender. Some of us are afraid to surrender. We're afraid of getting the mercy of what will that mercy be? And some of us have lamentation after surrendering, that some reaction may come. We're worried that something will come to our family, some problem or something. So pride, fear, and lamentation. Purport: Sri Vishnu Chakravarti explains that Akura gave up fear by openly showing his love and reverence for Krishna, even though he or his family might have been punished by the angry Kamsa. So the fear was that Kamsa would react if he showed his love for Krishna. So he gave up that fear by rolling in the footprints. Akura gave up his pride in being an aristocratic member of society and worshipped the cowherd residents of the simple village of Vrindavan. So that he will do when he comes, a little few verses later. And he gave up lamenting for his house, wife, and family, which were in danger from King Kamsa. Giving up all these things, he rolled in the dust of the lotus feet of God. So in the commentary by Vishnu Chakravarti, there's it's a little bit more explicit, so I'll read that also, although it's summarized in the purport. After describing the actions of Akura's body, words, and mind from his starting the journey in Mathura until his entrance in Vraj, a conclusion is given in this verse. As Akura gave up all false pride on seeing the footprints and rolled on the ground, this is the goal of human life. He gave up the pride, hitva bambam, such as, how can I, Akura, minister of the king, worshipped by the king, roll in the dust of a cowherd boy? Anybody here ever roll in the dust of Vrindavan? Yes?
In Govardhan.
In Govardhan? Okay, good. Good. So that was the pride he gave. He gave up fear of Kamsa being angry for rolling in the dust of Krishna, his enemy. And so he did it anyway. He gave up lamentation, shucham, concerning destruction of his wife, children, and house by angry Kamsa. Now then he gives it another meaning of fear. Giving up fear can also mean giving up fear of criticism from friends. Giving up lamentation can mean giving up the following considerations. As we are born in good families with power respected by all, how can we roll in the dust of, what is that word? Vaishnavas or Vaishyas? I don't know. Who are low, penniless, dressed in worn cloth, disrespected by all others. So then the wise man, Vishnath says, on seeing Vaishnava with tilak and garland and marks of the Lord on his body, he should roll in the dust of his feet. The phrase, giving up pride, fear, and lamentation, can be a reference to the ordinary man, but not applicable to Akura. So Krishna book, Prabhupada explains further, that hearing and remembering the glories of Hari from Narada, Akura had a desire to serve the Lord in Dasya Ras. When will I serve Hari in this way? When will I get the good fortune to see him? This should be the desire of the devotee. So if you're wondering what you should desire, here it is. Desire to serve and see. When will I get the good fortune to see him? Now, Prabhupada gives a very important lesson. Somebody asked, what should we learn from this Leela with Akura? Now, Prabhupada in Krishna book, he gives a very important lesson. Akura's journey to Vrindavan is exemplary. One who intends to visit Vrindavan should follow the ideal footsteps of Akura and always think of the pastimes and activities of the Lord. So this is when you're on your plane or on your train coming to Vrindavan. You should be thinking of Krishna, the pastimes. As soon as one reaches the boundary of Vrindavan, he should immediately smear the dust of Vrindavan over his body without thinking of his material position and prestige. So Prabhupada said, this is our lesson. We should learn from Akura. Actually, he is the example of the nine most potent forms of devotion. Forms of devotional service of vandanam, or offering prayers. He's the example of that. So Prabhupada said we should think of Krishna while we're on our way, and we should smear the dust as soon as we come. Srinartham Das Thakur has sung, Vishaya Charya Kobe Shuto Hopiman. When my mind be purified after leaving the contamination of material sense enjoyment, I shall be able to visit Vrindavan. Does that mean you simply have to go and buy a ticket and then you can visit Vrindavan? Prabhupada says, no. Actually, one cannot go to Vrindavan by purchasing a ticket. But so many people come to Vrindavan by purchasing a ticket. The process of going to Vrindavan is shown by Akura. So what is the process of going to Vrindavan as shown by Akura?
Like mentality.
Mentality, Hari Purush?
Eagerly
meditating on Krishna's pastimes. So we are in Vrindavan physically, but are we in Vrindavan mentally? Are we actually in Vrindavan? We got a ticket to Vrindavan, but are we in Vrindavan? That is the question. Someone may be more in Vrindavan out of Vrindavan than somebody who's living in Vrindavan. And you just take it for granted. And so this is the lesson from Akura. How to enter Vrindavan. Follow the footsteps of Akura. Always think of the pastimes and activities of the Lord. Now, verses 28 to 33, I just got this book on deity worship, written, I guess, by the pujaris of Krishna Balaram Temple. And these verses are in that book as prayers to Krishna Balaram. Verses 28 to 33, or meditation. It's either a meditation or prayers. These verses are quoted in that deity worship book. This is verses 28 to 33. Akura then saw Krishna and Balaram in the village of Braj going to milk the cows. So, what time of day was it? It was evening, twilight. He comes home. He's already entered. He's not out in the pasture. He's in Vrindavan. And he's ready to milk the cows. He's had his bath, as we'll find out in this verse. And he's going to milk. Came home, had his bath. And now he's going out to milk the cows. Krishna wore yellow garments, Balaram blue, and their eyes resembled autumnal lotuses. One of those two mighty armed youths, the shelters of the goddess of fortune, had a dark blue complexion, and the others was white. With their fine-featured faces, they were the most beautiful of all persons. As they walked with the gait of young elephants, glancing about with compassionate smiles, those two exalted personalities beautified the cow pasture with the impressions of their feet, which bore the marks of the flag lightning bolt, elephant, goat, and lotuses. And they're glancing, we heard so much about it, they're glancing at the gopis, they're glancing at respectful personalities, they're receiving, everyone is offering their worship to Krishna in their own ways. The gopis are worshipping them with their glance. Krishna is reciprocating with all of the different people as he enters Vrindavan. Of course, he's already entered Vrindavan, but he's still, everybody is just waiting to get the glance of Krishna. The two lords, whose pastimes are most magnanimous and attractive, were ornamented with jeweled necklaces and flower garlands, anointed with auspicious fragrant substances, freshly bathed and dressed in spotless raiment. So this tells us that Krishna has come home, he's had his bath, and now he's going out to milk the cows. They were the primeval supreme personalities, the masters and original causes of the universes, who had for the welfare of the earth now descended in their distinct forms of Keshava and Balaram. O King Parikshit, they resembled two gold-bedecked mountains, one of emerald, the other of silver, as with their effulgence they dispelled the sky's darkness in all directions. And so we do not know. There's a white effulgence and a blue effulgence going together to milk the cows. When Radharani comes, there's a golden effulgence. When Radha and Krishna come together, there's a greenish effulgence. There's a yellow and blue. But the effulgence is there. 34. Akura, overwhelmed with affection, quickly jumped down from his chariot and fell at the feet of Krishna and Balaram like a rod. So I noticed when I was studying this, I think today or yesterday, that two times Akura jumped from his chariot. He jumped down before to roll in the lotus feet, the dust of the lotus feet. That was verse 25. And now again he's jumping from his chariot in verse 34. So what I understood was on the way he saw the footprints. So he jumped down, so he must have gotten back up to go into the village of Nandagram. And now again he's jumping down because he's actually seeing the owner of the footprints, Krishna and Balaram. This verse 34 is quoted in Nectar of Devotion, chapter 39. As soon as Akura, the chariot driver... Oh, so here's our answer. Of is he driving the chariot? Yes. Akura, the chariot driver, saw Lord Krishna and his elder brother Balaram in Vrindavan. He immediately got down from the chariot and, being greatly afflicted by affection for the transcendental Lord, fell down upon his lotus feet to offer respectful obeisances. These are some of the instances of perfectional meetings with Krishna. So he had a perfectional meeting. There's sambhog. Sambhog is meeting, and viparlamba is separation. So here's an example of a perfect, perfectional meeting, sambhoga. 35. The joy of seeing the Supreme Lord flooded Akura's eyes with tears and decorated his limbs with eruptions of ecstasy. He felt such eagerness that he could not speak to present himself, O King. 36. Recognizing Akura, Lord Krishna drew him close with his hand, which bears the sign of the chariot wheel, and then embraced him. Krishna felt pleased, for he is always benignly disposed toward his surrendered devotees. So just as Akura anticipated, he was recognized. Krishna recognized him as his dear devotee, and he embraced him. Purport. According to the Acharyas, by extending his hand marked with a chariot wheel or chakra, Lord Krishna indicated his ability to kill Kamsa. So not only was he showing his affection to Akura, he was showing that there is no worries. I can kill Kamsa. I can take... He knew his mission. He's coming here to take him to Kamsa. He knew that it wasn't just to see the festivities. The Kamsa wanted to kill him. He knew that. And he's showing him, I know everything, and don't worry, I will kill Kamsa. And Akura also knew. Akura had no doubt. When he was talking with Kamsa, he also was saying that, you know, he was thinking that you just want to bring your death. You think you're going to kill Krishna, but actually you're bringing your death closer. The verse 37-38, as Akura stood with his head bowed, Lord Sankarshan, Balaram, grasped his joined hands. And then Balaram took him to his house in the company of Lord Krishna. And that's just as Akura was meditating, I will get down, and Balaram will take me by my joined hands. And he did. After inquiring from Akura whether his trip had been comfortable, Balaram offered him a first-class seat, bathed his feet in accordance with the injunctions of Scripture, and respectfully served him milk with honey. Vishwanath Chakravarti says, with his right hand, Balaram held Akura's folded hands. Akura had previously revealed that desire in verse 23. Verse 39, the Almighty Lord Balaram presented Akura with the gift of a cow, massaged his feet to relieve him of fatigue, and then, with great respect and faith, fed him suitably prepared food of various fine tastes. Purport. According to Sri Vishwanath Chakravarti, Akura went to Krishna's and Balaram's house on the 12th lunar day, that's Dwadashi, on which one should not break a fast at night. Well, how about morning? We break it in morning. But the original Ekadashi was for 3 days, I think. They were fasting from the day before until through the day after.
No, 2 days?
I mean, something like milk or something it was like. Anyway. But yes, according to this, you don't break it, and you're not even supposed to break it at night. However, Kura dispensed with this formality because he was eager to receive food in the Lord's house. So perhaps he had broken a little bit in the morning and then fasting the rest of the day. There is, It describes how to do it somewhere in the Ekadashi book. Vishnu Chakravarti says about offering a cow. The bringing a beautiful cow to give pleasure to the eyes of one's guest, and you're thinking, please look at this beautiful cow. It is yours. So that's to please the guest. You see this very nice sight. It's your cow. So that's why they used to give a cow. It's one particular auspicious aspect of worship. 40. When Akura had eaten to his satisfaction, Lord Balaram, the supreme knower of religious duties, offered him aromatic herbs for sweetening his mouth, along with fragrances and flower garlands. Thus Akura once again enjoyed the highest pleasure. So he's really swimming in an ocean of pleasure. First he got embraced. First he saw the footprints, and he rolled in the dust. Then he got embraced by Krishna. Then Balaram took his hand. So it's one thing after the other, and he's enjoying the highest pleasure. 41. Nanda Maharaj asked Akura, "O descendant of Sharha, how are all of you maintaining yourselves while that merciless Kamsa remains alive? You are just like sheep under the care of a butcher." So how do sheep feel under the care of a butcher? They know that one day he's going to kill us. And so sheep may not be aware, but people are aware. And we will see this when, I think at chapter 44, which is another 2 weeks from today, chapter 44, when Krishna kills the wrestlers, and Kamsa gets very upset, and he wants to kill everyone. He says, kill Nanda, kill Vasudev, kill Ugrasena, my old father who envious of me and wants the kingdom. Immediately, he wants to kill everyone. So that is like sheep under the care of a butcher. He's even his own father he's ready to kill. What to speak of his sister and his brother-in-law and everybody he wants to kill. So that's not protection. That's not protection. So in Krishna book, Prabhupada says, after Akura was thus properly received and seated, Nanda Maharaj, the foster father of Krishna, said, "My dear Akura, what shall I inquire from you? I know you are being protected by Kamsa, who is most cruel and demoniac. His protection is just like the slaughterhouse keeper's protection of animals he will kill in the future. Kamsa is so selfish, he has killed the sons of his own sister. So how can I honestly believe he is protecting the citizens of Mathura?" Prabhupada says, this statement is most significant. If the political or executive heads of the state are simply interested in themselves, they can never look after the welfare of the citizens. Verse 40. So this, we have examples everywhere today, and no, we don't even have to look for the examples. But anyway, it's there. 42. That cruel, self-serving Kamsa murdered the infants of his own sister in her presence, even as she cried in anguish. So why should we even ask about the well-being of you, his subjects? 43. Honored by Nanda Maharaj with these true and pleasing words of inquiry, Akura forgot the fatigue of his journey. Now, Shridhar Swami gives another meaning of forgetting the fatigue of the road. Shridhar Swami says, by these sweet words of Krishna and Balaram, he forgot the fatigue of material existence. So it wasn't just the fatigue of the road, he was feeling relief from the fatigue of material existence. So we can also have that relief if we hear the words of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam about Krishna, spoken by Krishna. Krishna Chakravarti Thakur also gives another interpretation of the fatigue. Being treated hospitably as a guest with gentle questions, Akura gave up doubt about getting mercy from Krishna and gave up his fatigue on the journey due to suffering from that doubt. So Akura had a doubt that he would get the mercy of Krishna, although he was very hopeful. And when he got the mercy, he gave up that fatigue of that suffering from that doubt. It's another meaning of giving up the fatigue of the road. He had a doubt that he would get the mercy of Krishna. Although it sounds like he didn't have that doubt, but according to Vishnu Chakravarti, he did have that doubt. He was a little doubtful. he would get the mercy of Krishna. So we'll stop here. Any questions, comments on these verses, these last verses of chapter 38, where Akura has finally achieved his perfection of life, seeing Krishna, embraced by Krishna, meeting Krishna. And Akura is very happy. Yes, Damana Krishna. Yes. Yeah. Just the same things that we offer to the deities, Balaram is offering to Akura. I mean, that was actually the Vedic etiquette in receiving a guest. That's how you receive a guest. And you do arti, and you offer nice fragrances, oils, and you offer nice food and a cow. Yeah, yeah.
When Balaram was washing his feet,
washing the feet, how he was feeling. Yeah, so Akura is like in ecstasy now.
But he was in some reverence to them. He knew, yes, that the Supreme Personalities of Godhead.
Well, he's reverence, but he's their uncle, so he can accept worship. He's their uncle. He's in a relationship as uncle. So therefore he can, although his uncle, he knew, he's like Kunti, he knew he was the Supreme, they were the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But at the same time, so she also accepted worship. When Krishna was leaving Hastinapur and Kunti said her famous prayers, Krishna went to her to get her blessings for the journey, to get her permission to leave. And he worshipped her feet. So, and yes.
Is it
no.
Aware of that?
They're not, as far as Leela goes. Kunti, she was not thinking, oh, you know, this is just all Leela, now Krishna's going to leave, and anyway, who cares? But she was really, like, she was trying to make him not leave. She was trying to catch him. Now, all the whole purpose of her prayers was so Krishna would not leave Hastinapur.
From the prayer, for certain.
Out of Braj. Yeah.
So, but maybe he didn't know that his dakshin, his previous life.
No, that no, he doesn't know. No, he's all of the residents of the other, all the members of the other dynasty knew Krishna's Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Like,
they understood as super soul. Right.
Super
we heard that in the third canto.
Yeah.
That all of the residents of Dwaraka, they knew Krishna is God, and also the residents of Hastinapur, Kunti, she knew, they knew, Vidura knew. Dhritarashtra knew. They all knew Krishna was Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yeah, Uddhava knew. Yeah, so Akura is one of those family members. He's in that category. So, I mean, that's quite a promotion for Daksha. To be living in Dwaraka with Krishna as Krishna's uncle, I mean, that's quite a promotion. Well, the demigods were called down to take part in Krishna's pastime. So he's part of that. Yeah, he's part of the universal demigods and sages who came down to take part in Krishna's pastimes. So that was there. They were called down by Krishna to come, and you should take birth in the Yadu dynasty. In the first chapter, we heard that. You all of you demigods take birth in the Yadu dynasty. Mm-hmm. Oh, so your question is everybody going to have a problem like Akura had?
No, like everyone has to purify some karma or like some fast.
Yeah, actually, okay, so the question is when you go into Krishna Lila from here, does everybody have to go and purify some karma? It appears that yes, many people do have to do that. Even in the gopis, there were sadhana siddhas. They had to, that weren't ready for Rasalila. So some of the Munichari gopis, they had to be purified further before they could actually participate in the Rasalila. And so Prabhupada explained that not only, when Krishna comes in the material world in Gokula, that some of them are Nitya Siddhas and some of them are Sadhana Siddhas who are having further purification and training before they go to the Goloka Vrindavan in the spiritual world. So it would appear that there are many cases like that. And especially ourselves if we ever make it to Gokul. I'm sure there will be a lot of purification that we have to go through before we can actually enter the pastimes in Goloka. Yes?
It appears that Akura has all the qualification of a pure devotee.
Yes.
Yet when he was with Pumsa, he was with a demon. So he was not having sadhu sangha, he was having a demon sangha.
What was the question? I couldn't... he's a pure devotee.
He's a pure devotee, but when he was with Kamsa, and Kamsa is a demon...
He's with Kamsa, and Kamsa is a demon.
And so he didn't have association of...
He had association.
He had association of a demon.
Right? Yes.
So
he had association.
How
is he a pure devotee if he was associating with a demon? Okay. Well, Bhishma Dev is another example of a pure devotee who is associating with Duryodhan. And because not only a pure devotee, he's a Mahajan. So the thing is that you may be a pure devotee, you may be placed in different awkward circumstances in the material world, but your devotion, your heart doesn't change. And actually, we read one part last year that said that many of the Yadu dynasty, they kept themselves with Kamsa because they knew that Krishna was going to appear in Mathura. So they kept them, some of them were in hiding and some of them stayed with Kamsa, even as servants, just so they could see Krishna come and kill Kamsa. And externally he was appearing as a servant of Kamsa, but internally he was just waiting for Kamsa's death, for when Krishna would come and be the lord of Mathura and Dwaraka. So they had, some of them kept themselves with Kamsa just for that, just to meet Krishna, just to be with Krishna.
How many devotees?
Yeah, he's a family member of Krishna, so obviously he's a devotee also. But Kamsa, Kamsa's a family member too.
His uncle also.
Yeah, they're all family members. But unfortunately, Kamsa was actually his previous birth. We'll find out, he was not actually the son of Ugrasena. He was the son of a demon. No, he was a demon. He was a demon. But even in Krishna Leela, one demon, I forgot his name, he took the form of Ugrasena and he went to Ugrasena's wife because he was attracted by his wife. And then he had sex with her, and then Kamsa was born from this demon and the wife of Kamsa. She thought it was her husband. She didn't know, but actually it was a demon and Kamsa was born. That's why he can kill his own father, and he's demoniac. He's not really born of the blood of Ugrasena or the family of Krishna, although he's appearing in the family of Krishna in the Bhoja dynasty, I think. Bhoja dynasty. Right, Vasudeva and Devaki were also there. They were also there in Mathura. A lot of devotees were there just waiting for Krishna to come and kill Kamsa and become the king of Mathura, become the leader of Mathura. Obstacles.
Given up just to face this Lord, just to see Lord. Otherwise, Akura will never see the Lord and Balaram, Krishna and Balaram, unless he will give up on the way to them. It was very important that this way to the Krishna and Balaram, just on the way he gave up.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Fear and lamentation.
On the way he gave up pride, fear and lamentation.
By rolling in the dust of Vrindavana.
Nice.
So these three things should be given up completely. This is way to become free from material contamination.
Bhagavad Gita says Vitaraga Bhaya Krodha. Gita says anger, fear, and attachment. Attachment, fear, and anger. Yes, if you can, by all means.
But this should be not a artificial.
Right.
Done.
Yeah. Any other questions or comments, Raman Krishna?
So, obstacles in devotional service different things doesn't necessarily show one's spiritual position.
Right.
Because we can
That's a good point.
That,
okay. Yeah, okay, I guess what you're trying to say is that sometimes a devotee may have trouble with the obstacles in devotional service, but that does not mean that he is not a pure devotee or that he's not...
He was never a devotee.
Yes, we should not judge. We do not know what is going on in the heart of the devotee. And if we judge and if we criticize, then that will happen to us, whatever happened to them. Because that's what our meditation is. Our meditation is on how that one fell down and how he fell down, and the next thing you know, you fall down from that negative meditation. Yes, we cannot judge by external symptoms. You cannot judge a devotee. That's a good point. But externally, Akura was with the enemy. So how could he be a devotee? But he was a devotee. Vritrasura was a demon. But he was a devotee in his heart. So if you externally you see him, you think, oh my God, horrible demon, looks like, really bad. But in his heart, he was a devotee. And there's a nice verse we read. Akura said that Krishna does not consider anyone despicable or
so he cannot
undesirable.
Anybody.
No.
He cannot reject anybody.
He does not reject anyone. Though it appeared he rejected the gopis when they came to the Ras Lila, but...
Yeah.
He didn't, because he did enjoy with them.
Because
oh, so your question is, after prema, well, it seemed, after prema, no one, you cannot commit offense, is that what you're saying? But it looks like Akura, he managed, even at the level of prema. Adi Purush? Okay, so in Madhurika Dhammini it says, according to Adi Purush, of course, you also remember that up to the level of prema, even at the level of prema, there are traces of offenses. But if you get direct darshan of Krishna, then that is washed off. Now he got. Now the question is, well, he got direct darshan of Krishna, so what happened? So is he still, yeah. He comes to take Krishna to Mathura. Yeah. Okay, he has his role. Well, that may not... Actually, that's debatable, according to what I read, that it's Yoga Maya making Akura and Kamsa. They don't have eternal identities there. Didn't mention Akura, it mentioned Kamsa. And, well... Yeah, so it's debatable, is what I can say. He may have an identity there, he may not. But Dwarka is certainly in Dwarka, yes, he should be there because he's not a demon, he's a devotee. So, yes, he must be there in Dwarka. But does he do that same service that he does here, taking away Krishna to Mathura?
He enhances the ecstasy of devotees.
Yeah, he enhances the ecstasy. You can see it from that side. He's on the level of prema, yes.
Akrura.
Yes. Dasya Bhav, steady. He's the example of Vandanam. Oh, he's on that level. But anyway,
so,
what to do?
How
he could commit an offense.
Just,
oh, that was the curse of the gopis.
Sure.
No.
It's a reaction.
That's
reaction
a reaction, yeah.
But
how could he take Krishna away? That was the question. How could he do that? And it would appear that his mentality was anything to see Krishna. So it seems like he didn't get to see him. And of course, yeah, Krishna hadn't gone to Mathura yet. So, yeah, I mean, one part is a little selfish. So I want to see Krishna. And then the other part was actually Vasudev Devaki. Everybody was suffering, and Krishna needed to come and release them from prison. And so there are two sides to it, why he did it. And it was taken as offense by the gopis. Not necessarily. Yeah. Well, he was on the side. Actually, you have to see there's two sides. There's the Braja, there's the Braja side, and there's the Dwarka Mathura side. So he was on the Mathura side. So they want Krishna there. And the Brajabasis want him there. So he's coming from the Mathura side to take Krishna to Mathura. Yeah, that we'll talk about tomorrow. We'll talk about that tomorrow and what it means. There are so many meanings of that statement. Yeah, we'll find out tomorrow. Better you come tomorrow. Who left Vrindavan? Tomorrow we'll find out that. And how Krishna never leaves Vrindavan and who actually left Vrindavan. And we'll find out some more, actually, after next week. Next week will be just Mathura Leela, and then after that we'll find out again about Krishna, because Krishna and Vrindavan, because he will be sending Nanda Maharaj back to Vrindavan. So then we'll find out in that pastime also about what actually is happening when Krishna sends Nanda. Yeah.
Regarding the effulgence of Krishna's toes.
The effulgence of Krishna's toes, yes.
So the Acharyas give the example of Ambarish Maharaj.
Oh.
Savaimana Krishna
Padara. Okay, Ambarish.
And Shisananda Goswami says that by effulgence means that even by a little devotion, many people cross samsara.
So just by a little dim reflection of devotion, people will cross samsara.
And Srivalla Bhacharya says that if one sun can dispel darkness, so what to say about ten toenails. There is no doubt my darkness of my ignorance will be dispelled.
So that's a very nice clarification, that the effulgence, what is that effulgence from the lotus feet? It's a dim reflection of devotional service, or just even a little devotional service. And that is the effulgence of Krishna's.
Reflection.
What is that? They said just...
Even a little bhakti,
okay, to make it simple. Even a little bhakti is enough to save you from darkness of ignorance. So that's interesting to understand, what is that effulgence? It's bhakti. Effulgence from Krishna's toenails. Anything else? Okay, wait, let Adi Purush. So that's the explanation. The meditation is in the heart, and when bhakti comes, that's the effulgence of Krishna's toenails. So Krishna can send anything in his effulgence. Why not bhakti? He can send it. I mean, what is? Remember at the beginning of creation, when there is an effulgence from the eyes of Mahavishnu, and what is inside that effulgence? So many things. Jiva, karma, and kala. Jiva, karma, kala. And Shiva is carrying it. So in that effulgence from his glance, the whole creation is there. I mean, so many things are there. So from his toenails, why not bhakti? Oh, Brahma. Right. Yeah, so Lord Brahma was meditating on the lotus feet of Krishna, the beginning of creation. And he's the example of getting liberation, getting knowledge, how to create.
And we are supposed to meditate every day by half of the Kama Gayatri.
Gayatri, I was also thinking that too. Kama Gayatri is our meditation on the effulgence of 24 and a half parts of Krishna's body. They're like lotus, and they're like effulgence. So that's our meditation. I also thought of that, but yes.
You should meditate
our
on the
Kama Gayatri, no. We should meditate on the Kama Gayatri mantra, which is the effulgence of Krishna's different parts of his body. If you want to understand more about that, you can read Chaitanya Charitamrita, which explains about that. How it is.
Shoes.
Oh, Chaitanya walk without shoes. I don't know. I don't know if he did or not.
When he went to Vrindavan,
Yes. Yeah, he must have. The people were taking dust from his feet.
And they were creating huge potholes.
There were potholes in the road from taking the dust of Lord Chaitanya's lotus feet. I guess there were no footprints left there for anybody to see, like Lord Krishna. Well, Mother Yashoda did see them. Mother Sachi. She saw Nimai's footprints and was wondering, you know, how did they get here? Yeah, she saw his footprints. When he was a child, then he was walking barefoot. And I guess when he was a sannyasi, he was also walking barefoot. As a grihastha, it's debatable if he was walking barefoot or not. His shoes, that was when he was grihastha. Okay, so his shoes are there.
Silver shoes?
They're probably wooden.
They're wooden, but covered by silver.
So Lord Chaitanya's shoes are in Dhameshwar temple. Where is that? Navadvip?
Navadvip, Vishupriya temple.
Vishupriya temple. Any other questions or comments on these verses? Okay, so we'll stop here. Tomorrow will be the big day of Akura taking Krishna out of Vrindavan to Mathura. And it will be a great day of lamentation for the residents of Braj. So come tomorrow. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.